thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. We're still talking about the will of God, and I feel God kind of just kind of lightening up on my heart about His will and talking to you about what He wants for you. How many know it's important that you understand that God has things for you? You know, it's important to you that you understand that God is not trying to hurt you. He's trying to strengthen you and build you. How many know that? Everything you go through is because He desires to build you and strengthen you into the man or woman of God that He wants in the earth today. Because how many know? We are in a crazy world. Amen. Hallelujah. And they've got all sorts of ideas. Amen. And God is trying to infiltrate your heart with the things that He has for you so that you be so confident in the things that He's spoken to you. You'll do far more. You'll do, like Jesus said, you will do things that are greater things shall you do. Because you trust in the Lord and because He went to the Father. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. God's got great things for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Giant slayers. How many of you know you're a giant slayer? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you are the head and not the tail? You're above and not beneath. How many of you know that's what God's description of who you are is? You are not alone, but you are encircled and indwelt by the living God. Is that right? Isn't that cool? Because of who Jesus has done for you. He has done something that's so incredible and so awesome. So praise God. How many know that today's sermon is called 24-hour service. How many know that? How many know that we are in this for 24-hour service? Is that okay? Hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you, don't call me, but I'll call you in the middle of the night. Is that all right? 24 hours. When we were coming in this morning, my wife and I, there was a tow truck going really slow down the road. I'm not sure if he was looking for an accident or trying to create one. But, you know, just going really slow. And I told Rosie, I said, that truck, that's Luna's truck, because I can tell he keeps his trucks really nice. Nice. But right on the back, big old sign in the back of that tow truck, 24-hour service. And hallelujah. And that's what I'm talking to you about this morning is, are you part-timer or are you a full-timer? Amen? Come on. How many of you want to be a full-timer? Hallelujah. And it's important that if you're going to be a full-timer, you got to know what God is saying to you to be a full-timer. Is that right? Because you can drive yourself crazy trying to do everything for Jesus. And when God is trying to get you to relax, say, let me help you. Let me show you what I want you to do. And that's cool. So we're going to be talking about that today. And so if you will, open your Bibles to, I'm going to start off with Matthew chapter 6:10, because I'm going to go through some of the things that the Lord has been talking to us about His will. We've been looking at the will of God, and Matthew 6:10 says this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told us to pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So obviously, because He told us to pray this, He's speaking to us in a way saying, you need to know what His will is. Is that okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:21 says this. This is kind of a spooky one. If you look at it, it says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And then it says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. How many of you see with this verse right here? It's so important that we understand what the will of God is. Do you see that? Because it says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. There's another place in, it's a scripture right close to this. It says, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do all these wonderful works in your name? And the Lord says, and the Lord turns to them and he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's spooky, isn't it? So, folks, I'm telling you, in today's world, today, we need to know what God is saying to us about His will. You personally. That's why we preach here. That's why what we teach you here and we preach to you here is What is it? We preach the word to you, man. Independently dependent upon God. That's why we teach that to you. You need to be dependent upon Him, not upon pastor, not upon the pastor. You need to know what God is saying to you personally. That's what will strengthen you. I can tell you what I think, but I will always tell you, you need to talk to the Lord. You need to go to Him. You need to find out what He's saying to you personally. Isn't that good? Yes. Folks, I mean, that's the place where God is building His church. Because when He begins to speak to you by His Spirit, because the Spirit of God is leading and guiding the church today, when He begins to speak to you, what He tells you will never come in confrontation with the rest of the body of Christ. Do you know that? Because God is not a God of disunity. He's a God of unity. He will put things together the way it's supposed to be. So it's important that you yourself find the will of God for your life. Amen? Independently dependent on God. And He says this. He says, hey, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of God. But those that do the will. Amen? How many say amen to that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't get mad at me if I'm telling you the truth. All right? Matthew 26:39. This is where Jesus is in the garden, and He's about to go to the cross. How many know Jesus paid the price for us? Is that right? And when He was in the cross, when He was in the garden, I really don't think He was as much concerned about the cross as much as He was doing the will of God. Because He tells Him, Father, not my will, but Your will be done, Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will. He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but what? As thou wilt, as according to your will, Father. That's what He wanted. And folks, I'm going to tell you, Jesus, it was a pattern for us to follow. Is that correct? He was our pattern. So Him being our pattern, what He does is what we are to do. He showed mankind what the man of God is supposed to be on the earth. That's cool. Can I tell you, aren't you glad that we don't have to go to the cross? Aren't you glad that you don't have to go to this garden the night before, hours before, and say, God, I'm going to a cross, man. You don't have to go to that cross because He already went for you. He took you to His cross. He bare your sins on His cross. He paid the price for you on His cross. Isn't that good? Wow. Aren't you glad? Yes, aren't you glad?
Bought by the blood.
Aren't you glad that He did that for you?
Yes.
His will for you. And I was thinking of 24-hour service because what the scripture that kind of spoke to me was where it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, the apostle says, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Isn't that reasonable? Since He paid for you on the cross, isn't it reasonable for you to maybe give up a little over here and do something for the Lord and begin to search for His will? Isn't it reasonable? Because God, when His will begins to happen in your life, it's the greatest thing. You look back and you say, I never realized it would be like this. Hallelujah. His will. And He's been talking to me about it. He's been saying, hey, man, talk to them about my will. Because it really is something that you need to go into your prayer closet and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Remember when Paul was knocked off of his horse, the first thing he said, he says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, it's me, Jesus, who you're persecuting. And then Paul said, what do you want me to do? Praise God. When he realizes it was the Lord, he said, what do you want me to do? So we talked about how Paul understood God's will. because God had told him that he was going to go to Jerusalem. You're going to go to Jerusalem, and from there you're going to be arrested, and then you're going to go on to Rome. Paul understood that. So when people were coming to him, they were prophesying to him, say, hey, man, you're going to go to Jerusalem, and you're going to be arrested. So they began to tell him, don't go, don't go, don't go. But see, it was the will of God that was taking him to Jerusalem so he could be arrested, so he could go to Rome, and so that he could write the book of Romans, so he could write all the letters to all the churches. Hallelujah. So God knows what he's doing. How many say yes?
Yeah.
How many believe God knows what he's doing? Amen. How many are without a doubt that God knows what he's doing? Sometimes when some things happen to us, we kind of wonder, God, do you know what you're doing? Is that right? Sometimes that happens. But God will tell you, God knows what he's doing. He absolutely knows what he's doing. And when you know God's will, when his will is operating in you, you realize, hey, man, there is nothing by any means will hurt me. Is that right?
Come on.
I'm the head, not the tail. I'm not beneath. I'm above. Hallelujah. Because it's his will. When you gave your heart to Jesus, his will began to work in you in a way that right before you gave your heart to the Lord, his will was working with you. But the thing is called grace. Do you know what grace is?
Yes.
What is grace? Some, you know, a lot of churches got unmerited favor. But if you look it up, the word is charis. And grace is, I love it, divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. You see, it's a divine influence. You're saved by grace. You're saved by grace. Not unmerited favor, but grace, divine influence came into your life and it began to talk to you about what you were doing. And this divine influence began to convict your heart so that you'd be saying, I'm a sinner. And then all of a sudden you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And now the unmerited favor takes place, which actually is the mercy of God.
Hello.
It's God's mercy that brought you close and you gave your heart to the Lord and you said, Jesus, take my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's divine influence that pulled you in. It is grace that holds you and takes you into those places where you might not even think you'd go. Hallelujah. Because of what he has planned for you. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. How many of you know that you can't get saved without divine influence? Is that right? You know, how many had somebody talk to you about Jesus before you gave your heart to the Lord? Anybody? Anybody in the house? If somebody said, and you say, man, quit talking to me about that guy. You know what I used to tell people? I'm a Catholic. That was my line. Dude, I'm a Catholic. Finally, the guy that led me to the Lord, when I said, I'm a Catholic, he says, I didn't ask you if you were a Catholic. I asked you if you knew Jesus. I had no answer for that. But I did have a desire to know him. Didn't know it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last week we did Selfie Maniac. You guys remember that? How many of you guys like that? We got those pictures floating around. I don't know if anybody wants to put them up, but I don't want to distract you. So because I'm... Here we go. Run through them quickly. Look at yourself. It was fun. Isn't that right? It was fun. Selfie Maniac. We talked about releasing ourselves. Hallelujah. Oh, God wants you to take care of yourself. He wants you to comb your hair and think about good things. He wants you to love yourself. He does, but not to the point where you won't love others and you will resist. You will love only the ones that love you, and you will not love the other ones. Isn't that crazy? God is trying to release us from the things of ourself that are hindering us for finding him, for walking with him. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Look at Abe. What do you think of that face? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He's going to have a baby. Praise God. Glory to God. Those are cool, huh? What I asked you to do with these pictures last week? Pray for those folks. Pull them out and take a look at that person. Some of you might not even know. I don't even know who this guy is. We'll pray for him anyway. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Pray for those. Amen. Glory to God. Selfie maniacs. Our will and God's will do not mix. Do you know that? Do you know that our will and God's will do not mix? You can't put them together. You see, God's will is spiritual. How many of you know how you're built? You're built spirit, soul, and body. You know that, right? You've got in your spirit, your spirit communicates with God. It has intuition. It knows things that God is saying. And then your soul part, you got your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what's resting in your soulish part. How many of you know that when Jesus comes in, he speaks to your heart, which has your communion, your intuition. He speaks to that part of you. And when you receive it, it begins to change your mental part. Is that okay? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It begins to change the way you think. That's what it says, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By what? By the word of God. God's word will renew your mind. It will change things. Your soul has your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's why when you look at, let's just say all these puppies that need a home on TV and they're hurt and they're asking you for your money. And man, you start feeling real bad for them. You start hurting for them and everything. See, you're operating in your emotions. That's where they're trying to get you. They want to get your emotions up. So you will pull out those greenbacks and start sending them in. Is that right? They're working on your emotions. And see, God doesn't tell us to be led by our mind. He doesn't tell us to be led by our emotions. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. Isn't that cool? Praise God.
Yes.
But let's talk about your will. Your will is in your soul part. The will of God is in the Spirit. So the soul and that Spirit just cannot mix. It cannot. Your soulish will cannot take on the will of God. That's why Jesus put you on the cross. That's why that's why Paul the Apostle says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. He crucified you at the cross with him. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. But we live on. Is that right? We do what we want. God might say, I want you to do this. You say, not today. We will do that to God. How many times will God knock? I don't know. I don't know, but he'll knock, and he'll knock. And the Bible says that there comes a time when the spirit gets so hardened that God cannot even speak to it anymore. Is that crazy? It's because of our will. It's because of what we want to do and not receiving what he wants to do. Because I can tell you, if you will place your will on that cross, God will begin to speak to you and you begin to understand the things that he has for you. And they are great things. They really are. We're in this building because of the will of God. We are here because of God's will. Did Green Valley need another church? In my mind, I said, no, I don't think so. We've got plenty of churches. It's like we've got plenty of golf courses and banks here. I said, we don't need another church. But apparently, God's will is that this church would be here.
Come on, brother. Amen. There's liberty in this house.
It'd be so much easier for me just to go somewhere else. Amen? Easier but harder at the same time. Because God would say, what are you doing? See, I could go my own will. But see, that will, I've determined to place that on the cross. I've determined my will needs to die and his will needs to take override everything that is going on, whatever it is that I want to do. Isn't that crazy? It's cool. And folks, it's the body of Christ that needs to do that. We as the body of Christ need to understand that God is calling us and speaking to us and says, I saved you for a reason. There's a purpose why you are where you are in me. There's a reason. And I want you to understand it. I desire that you walk with me like Enoch walked. How many want to walk with God like Enoch walked? Where you're walking and he's talking to you about stuff. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. There are certain things that God has said to me that I will not bring out of the pulpit. Because these things, I know they shock the body of Christ. There's things that he's spoken to me that I know the church isn't ready for it. But when he tells me to open it, I'm going to open it. Amen? Isn't that right? You speak what God gives you. We do speak what we know. So it's not my will to give it out. I would like to. I said, Lord, let me teach them. Let me show this. Let me bring this out, Lord. That's not mine. See, he says, not your will, not my. It's my will, Henry. I said, okay, so I'm not ready. But God's loaded me up with some stuff. Hallelujah. And let me also say that whatever it is, you're going to be able to find it in the Word of God. It's not going to come out of any other book. It's going to come out of the Word of God. That book right there is the authority. And the Holy Spirit is the instructor of that book. Hallelujah. So it's only going to be what he has to say. Hallelujah. So before you start saying, oh, he's gone off the road. He's driven off the bridge, man. And you know, no, hallelujah. It's going to come out of the book. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to put a Romans 1:5. Because I talked a little bit about grace and I talked about, but Romans is by whom we receive grace and apostleship. Apostleship is let's just say you're an ambassador. How many know we are ambassadors for Christ? That's what apostleship is. You're just an ambassador. And then an apostle is someone that's sent. How many know you've been sent by God? He saved you to send you. Is that okay? Jesus told me one day, he says, Henry, he goes, you're the hub. I go, I'm the hub. He says, not me, the church. He says, your church is the hub. The hub. I'm mechanically minded. I worked in a mine as a mechanic for years, so I'm a mechanic, a hub. So I'm thinking, you know, a tire and a wheel and a hub, and that's the only hubs I know. With a brakes on it. He goes, you're the hub. I said, cool, man. I'm the hub. I'm walking around here praying. I'm the hub. We're the hub. This is the hub. I said, God, I got no idea what you're talking about. What are you talking about? One evening, praying, the Lord shows me this, looked like a wagon wheel on the ground. And it's got five spokes. And the five spokes are the pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists. Those are the five spokes on the ground. I'm looking at, what are you saying? God, I don't know what you're saying. He showed me that. He said this to me. He says, I will send, I will send. Okay. You'll send, you will send. God, you're confusing me here, man. I don't know what you're saying, Lord. It wasn't until the mine had sent me to a school in Indiana, a compressor school. And I'm flying. The girl that set me up, and I don't know, I had to fly into Atlanta. That's a long way from, had to fly into Atlanta, go from Atlanta up into Chicago O'Hare, take a small jump jet that would go over the lake and land in South Bend. And then I could drive from South Bend to where I was going. As that plane was coming into Atlanta, I felt the Holy Spirit on me. I said, whoa, boy, what's going on, God? You know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit shows up, there's things, hey, something's happening here. What's happening? Well, I feel the Holy Spirit come. I said, uh-oh, we're going to crash. Are we going to crash, God? Oh, I said, Lord, what's going on? Because I could sense the Spirit was really happening. And just then the stewardess comes on and she goes, welcome to Atlanta, the international hub airport. And when she said that, I felt it in my spirit. I said, Lord, I see what you're doing. Everything that he had spoken to me, I will send, began to make sense. He's going to send folks in, and then they're going to be here for a little bit. I thought he was stuttering. I will send, I will send. But what he meant, he was, I'll send them in, and then I will send them out. Remember, Henry, do not corral my people. Let them go. Okay. And I realized that God has showed me His will for the house. Another portion of the will. I mean, you know, it's important that we see the things that God is doing so that we can understand when things happen. Is that right? When somebody leaves this place, if you'll let me, I will pray for you. Sometimes people get upset and mad. How many know that? Sometimes folks feel like they're getting the raw end of the deal here. And that's, I hope not. I hope that doesn't happen to anybody, but sometimes it happens. And they decide they want to leave. Sometimes when you live in the will of God, can I say to you that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose? Can I say to you that you're a new creature in Christ and all things become new? Everything is new. And then it says this, and all things are of God. Everything. So when folks want to leave, I want to pray for them. Say, man, Lord, bless them. Wherever you're sending them, where you're taking them to, Lord, bless their lives. Allow them to go forth in the name. That's all he's told me to do. Isn't that cool? It's the will that God has called into this house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you might not realize it, but there's some men and women in here that God is saying, I'm going to use you, but it's not going to be here. I'm going to take you someplace. Because I have a calling and a will that you're going to fulfill. Because you'll begin to lay it out before me. You'll begin to operate in what I've asked you to do. Isn't that cool? I don't want anybody to leave. I don't. But I do want everyone to connect to the will of God. And whatever he says, that's what you do. Let's go.
Amen.
His will not mix with ours will. Hallelujah. In that scripture, it says there are two wills. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and then perfect will of God. Can I tell you, there's only two wills. It's our will and his will. His will is described as good. Our will is described as good and acceptable to him. But his will is perfect. And if you'll see, the scripture says, I should have brought it up. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a time that, because you're listening to what God is telling you to do, you're going after his will. There is a time that will come where you begin to hear and you to do. And when you're doing what he has for you to do, you're stepping into the perfect will of God. That is the place where Jesus lived. Jesus, in his life, walked in the perfect will of God. We, in our own selves, we are walking and learning about how to get to that perfect will of God. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. But how many want the perfect will of God in your life? Can I tell you, that's a place you're going to see people doing. You're going to see things. You're going to see signs and wonders. You're going to see all sorts of things because you're doing what he's telling you to do and not what you're generating up in your own mind. Isn't that cool? That's cool, man. It really puts a, you know what? Find out what God wants for you. Obedience to his leading. Romans 1:5. Read this. Whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Obedience. Obedience. How many of you like obedience? Nobody? Come on, man. Obedience. Can I just tell you that obedience is very, very high on God's list for you? Do you know that? How would it have been if Noah would have just said been disobedient? How would it have been? Hallelujah. How would it have been if Eve would have just been obedient? But now she messed us all up, isn't that right? Come on. Adam too. Yeah, they both. Yeah, yeah. Come on, you don't put the blame all on Eve, man. But hallelujah. Takes two to tangle. How many of you know that everything, the small things are important? That little bit of obedience that God asks you to do, it's important to you. Because what it does, it generates something more. Generates something more. Got a pastor over here. I haven't preached in 3 years. Was he being disobedient? I don't know. Huh. But when I asked him, he goes, well, I don't know. His daughter looks at me and says, yeah, he will. He'll do it. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Because when there's a call on your life, there's a call and you can't back away from it. How many know that? God's always going to hold on. He's always going to pull on it. He's going to pull on it. And finally, you're going to say, I give up. I'll do it. And praise God. Because there's calls on your life, everybody.
I'm doing it.
Come on. Amen. There you go, Laura.
Right, Laura.
Come on. See, this is what God is talking about. Yes.
Earlier this morning when I was worshiping, I see patients every day, and when I put my hands on them, the first words out of my mouth is, accept these healing energies with an open heart and
Amen.
An open mind. And I'm supposed to tell this to my family and my congregation. This is what's being spoken.
Receive the healing.
Everybody, please accept the healing energies with an open mind and an open heart.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
So
come on.
It's been hitting me, and I was crying because I'm not obedient. I didn't get up there and say it. And you're saying, be obedient.
This has happened to you before, hasn't it?
And my obedience is now.
Come on.
And I'm crying because I was not being obedient.
Come on, Laura.
I was crying because I was not being obedient, and I am now being obedient.
Good.
Accept
Good
it.
Yes. Amen.
Accept it, please.
Healing is coming. It's the Lord's healing. He will touch you. Thank you, Laura.
Sorry.
Thank you. That's okay. Come on. Thank you. I love you guys. All right. Come on. Come on. Being obedient. Just be obedient. Just stand in the place where you say, God, I'll do it. Hallelujah. That's cool. I love that. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this out of my Bible because I like my Bible. How many of you like your Bible? How many of you laid off your Bible and you got your phone now? Come on, man. Hallelujah. One of these days, them cell towers are, and you're going to be digging for your Bible. Now, come on, man. I'm just kidding me. I'm just kidding you. It's good. Reading the Word of God, man. Hallelujah. But I feel like the Lord wanted me to read this morning, especially when I got to the end, because it says, make sure this epistle is read in all the churches. And so I decided you probably wouldn't like it if I started at chapter 1 and read all the way through chapter 5. So, but chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 1, but I just want to say something before that. In chapter 4, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read something. I'm going to read this to you in chapter 4. This is what the Word of God says. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. How many know what it's talking about? Come on, what's it talking about? It's talking about the taking away of the church. Is that right? When God comes and he says, okay, it's getting time to, it's almost time to pour my wrath upon the earth. And how many of you know that we're not called to wrath? Do you guys know that?
Amen.
Yeah, and the wrath of God, do you know that the wrath of God has, the earth has already seen the wrath of God? Do you know that? Do you know that? I'm going to show you this because I feel the Lord saying this to you. I want you to look at Romans. Can you bring up Romans? Romans 16:17-18. I'm going to read that. Romans 16:17-18. I feel the Lord is speaking this morning. And The earth has already seen the wrath of God. It saw it in the flood. You're correct. It did. But the what God poured on the earth, the wrath that God had, show up somewhere. You get it? Romans chapter 1. Sorry, man. Romans chapter 1, verses 16, 17, and 18. Romans chapter 1, 16, 17, 18 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek, and to the Mexicans. And to the, come on, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Italians, the Italian band. Amen. Hallelujah. People that are Norden, wasn't from, you know, Norway. Anyway, whatever. To the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Where is it revealed? The righteousness of God is revealed where? It's in the cross. The righteousness of God is revealed in the cross. As it is written, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
How many are you living by faith? Come on, man. For the wrath of God, listen, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 18. That was it. For the wrath of God is revealed. Can I tell you where the earth has seen the wrath of God been poured out? You know where that's been? Where it's at? It's on the cross. God's wrath for sin was poured upon his son at the cross. Isn't that something? He endured the wrath of God. Isn't that crazy? He went to hell. How many of you guys know that? Jesus went to hell to pay for the things that you do. He's a good God. He took it away from you so there would be nothing blocking you from him. Man, I'll tell you.
It's exciting.
Ooh, man, I was reading about Samuel and how he went to pick up the ark and they put it on a new cart, and instead of carrying it, the law said they had to carry it. Why? Because that ark represented the presence of God. And it's not to be cruised around in a Hummer. You know that? It's supposed to be within the man or woman of God. And so when Uzziah touched the ark to steady it because it says the oxen stumbled, he put his hand up there and God smote him. Sounds like the wrath of God on him, is that right? He touched him because there was a law that said that thing had to be carried with poles. Borne by men, carried by men with poles. And they had it on a cart. And God was not happy about what they were doing. The man that died was a priest. He should have known better. Those guys knew those things. Because when they went to get it again, they carried that puppy. Is that right? They said, man, we're going to carry this in. How would you like to be one of the guys? You and you carry this thing. Me? You kidding me? Hey, I knew he was a friend of mine. Oh, man. Carry that thing. The wrath of God was revealed from heaven. And here in Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the removal of the church, because what's about to happen is God is about to pour out his wrath on the earth for the unbelievers, the ones that don't know, don't get it, don't understand. When it is, there's people out there that got post-tribulation, that right, Steve? Pre-tribulation. I don't know. But I do know that there's one thing that I know, that people that are studying that, I believe that they are spinning their wheels against something that nobody knows. How many know that? Paul even talks about it here. So I moved away. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is where Paul starts. He says, but the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Can I tell you, when the Lord comes to take hit the church, the word of God said in chapter 4, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout. He's not going to come and touch the earth. He's going to come and he's going to park himself in the air. And he's going to call up the church. And the church is going to meet him. And then we'll forever be with the Lord. But when that day happens, he's not going to call ahead. He's not going to call ahead. It says it's almost like a burglar. A burglar doesn't call ahead, doesn't give you a warning that he's coming, does he? He just comes. Right when you're not expecting it. He just comes. And that's what the Word of God just got through telling us. It's like a thief in the night. He comes to take the bride, the body of Christ. How many love it? Yes. Come on. How many ready? Come on, man. I have told the Lord, look, God, you want to get me off the earth? You're going to have to give me a rapture. If you want me off that planet, you're going to have to do me like Elijah or Enoch, where he's walking and all of a sudden he's not there no more. Amen? Wouldn't that be crazy? That'd be cool in here, huh? I wonder what would happen all of a sudden. I just disappeared. That'd be cool. Poof. Me and Rosie, because she's going with me. Come on, man. Hallelujah. But I told the Lord, look, listen to this. Death is an enemy of God. I'm going to give you that. Death is an enemy of God. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 15. That death is an enemy of God. Why should I leave this planet through a porthole that is an enemy of God? Why? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go shake hands with an enemy so I can get to heaven. Amen? So I'm telling the Lord, I said, Lord, you want me off the planet? Rapture? I'll go. Or send me an Uber like you sent Elijah. Come on, man. Amen? Hallelujah. But he says this. He says, they'll say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. For you, brothers, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. This should be a comforting word to you. As a Christian, doing what you know God has told you to do, don't be worried about that day. It's going to happen. Who knows when, but it's going to happen. The Word of God says it's going to happen. I believe the Word of God. So I say it's going to happen, but I'm not concerned about when it's happening because I am busy doing my Father's business. Is that right?
Amen.
We got to be about your Father's business. Hallelujah. And it's according to his will and not yours. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that you should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light. You see that word? You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm not of darkness. Say it loud. I'm telling that. Now look at the one on the other side. Say, I am a child of light. Can I tell you, when God said in the morning, I mean, this is, you're going to have to check this out because you look at it, but when God said, light be, he was talking about the light, the illumination of who he is. You'll see that he said, light be, and there was light. But then you're going to find later on, it says he created a great light for the night, for the day, and a lesser light for the night. Is that right? The light that we walk in is called revelation. It's illumination that comes only from the Father. Is that right? Jesus told Peter that. You know, President Bud hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, he has revealed this to me. It's called revelation. It is divine light. You are not children of the light of the sun. You are children of divine light. How many like that? Say amen. Say amen if you like that. Because that's who you are. We are not children of the darkness. You are children of light. Verse 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. Come on. Yeah, drunkards? No, I'm just kidding. That sober is a sober-mindedness. It is your mind is aware of what's going on with the Lord, between you and the Lord. Can I tell you, the Lord will warn you about stuff? Is that right? He'll talk to you. He'll show you things. He'll show you what's coming towards you. I had a friend that was looking for a wife. Asking God, God, I want to be an evangelist. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be an evangelist. Yeah, but I need a wife. I need a wife. I need a wife. He kept throwing that in there. And one day he was in a... It was a Christian concert, and they were walking around, walking in the back somehow, and the Lord said to him, you just passed your future wife. And he went, turned around, there was like six girls. He goes, which one? He said, but there was one that kind of glanced and over and looked at him and gave him a smile. You girls are. Gave him a smile. So he went and he said, well, that might be the one. So he went and talked to her and he says, would you be interested in having breakfast with me? Just a breakfast. I'd like to take you to breakfast because he got to work in the afternoons. So she said, sure. Never met her before, but she said, sure. Got to talking to her. She told him before he told her, when we were walking, you walked by and the Lord said, there goes your husband. She had been praying for a husband. Come on, man. Come on, man. Praise God. See, God will show you things to come. Is that right? It's cool, man. God will. God knows what's happening. Why shouldn't we be seeking his will and going after him? Because these things are awesome. They're cool, man. God knows what's happening. Hallelujah. He knows the next car you're going to buy. Even though you're not even thinking about buying a car right now, he knows what it is and what year it is.
That's tomorrow.
Isn't that cool? Because he knows the end from the beginning. Can you trust him? You can absolutely trust him. He's trustable because he already knows it. Isn't that cool? Come on, hallelujah. Gonna mess up your psych, your Christian doctrine. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Be sober-minded, be aware. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of what?
Faith
and love. Putting on a breastplate of faith and love. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen? Knowing that salvation is yours, knowing that God has done a great work in you, that he's doing a work and is coming towards you. And then he says this, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. I like to see that in two ways, that we obtain salvation. Because I will tell you, salvation is not just a day that you were saved. It is a work that God does in you that convinces you slowly and washes you and cleanses you. And the Word of God calls it a purging that brings his nature into you and removes your nature. Is that okay? Hallelujah. But you got to be willing to do this. You got to take your will, toss it to the wall, and allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Is that good? Is that right? Hallelujah. I said there's two things. The other thing about salvation is that we might obtain salvation. There is also salvation in those that don't know him, that you can speak to them and say, hey, man, you know what? Jesus loves you. He died for you, man. And he cares about you. He wants to take you to where you've never been before. And you begin to speak to them, and then salvation shows up in their life and begin to start working in that. And that's a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 10 says, let me read verse 9. It says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Here's where he begins giving instructions. Comfort yourselves together. Folks, you know how important it is that we fellowship? Fellowship is important. Why? Because we build one another up. Is that right? Yep. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. Let's build up, even as you also do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you, that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, that you esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace. Is that right? Be at peace. Yes. Then he says this, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. How many like patience? Be patient toward all men. And then he says this, this is our power verse, which is actually coming up on verse 16. It says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Then it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. I want you to see that scripture, because it's the will of God that you not only give thanks, but I believe it's also that you pray without ceasing and you rejoice. How many like rejoicing in times when it's hard to rejoice? It's hard. Isn't that right? I remember when I lost my job at the mine, there was a layoff and they wouldn't call me back. And when they started calling people back, they weren't calling me. They didn't call me. Some of my friends were going to work and they're calling me up. Henry, they're calling, man. I said, they haven't called me. Well, you better get down to the employment office. So I got down to the employment office. This was Duval. I went down to the employment office. And when I got in the employment office, I had an injury. When I was working in the mill, I had an injury and I got a piece of steel in my eye. So when I went to get when I tried to get back in, the guy I was talking to goes, well, did you miss a lot of work? I said, no, sir, never did. I loved working. He goes, okay, were you sassy? Did you talk back to your supervisor? You can ask Rosie, I never talk back. Yeah. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah. He said, did you talk back to your supervisor? I said, no, I didn't. No, sir, I didn't. And he goes, well, did you get hurt? I said, yeah, I got hurt. He goes, well, I got another list. Let me pull it out. Pulled out the other list. It was the blackball list. It was the ones that they didn't want back. There's my name right at the top of the list. Under A, Henry Ayala. He goes, is this you? I go, that's me. I go, why? He goes, you're a liability to them. They don't want you. You're going to have to find some other kind of work. All right. I didn't like that at all. All my friends, all the guys I worked with were calling me and say, hey, man. I said, hey, they're not going to call me back. What do you mean? Yeah, well, they're not going to call me back. So I had to go through where I had to say, Lord, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. Whatever you want to do. I started working at a garage here in Green Valley. And while I was working there, somewhere along the line, I had a dream. And in the dream, there was an older gentleman that was walking up come out of an elevator. And I was working on a pump that was near this elevator. And I looked over, I saw the light come on. This is in the dream. The light came on and this old guy comes out who I didn't know. And he goes, Henry, you're back. And he walked towards me, stepped off to where I was working, then just went on by. And I didn't realize that God was giving me a promise. I didn't know that. I just thought it was a dream. How many of you guys ever had dreams before and you just thought it was a dream? And maybe later on it came true. Anybody ever done that? Well, so I had this dream and I'm working at Duval sold out to another company, which is called Cypress. My supervisor came down and goes, hey, Henry, fill out this application. He had brought it down a week before I was out on the tow truck and he set it on my toolbox and my boss got it, threw it away. I didn't know anything about it. So when he came, he goes, I'm going to stay here until you fill it out. He goes, I don't know why you didn't call me. And I go, hey, I didn't know you brought one. He goes, and my boss told me, hey, I tore it up. So I filled it out and he took it. And my boss told me, he goes, Henry, Because I'd worked there 4 years, going on five. Because as soon as you get 5 years, you're going to get 2 weeks. You're going to get a week of vacation. That's what he told me. And I said, Bob, if I go up to the minor right now, I get 2 weeks vacation. What do you think? He goes, I was just trying to talk you out of it. Well, they called me back, and I worked. I went back to work. And one morning, my boss told me, he goes, Henry, I want you and Arturo to go pack this pump. So the pump we were at was right next to that elevator. So I got my back to the elevator. My supervisor shows up and he says, Henry, he goes, can you do this by yourself? And, you know, I was kind of braggadocious. I get, I can do this in my sleep. He goes, well, I need Arturo. Go ahead and you finish it up, and then you can come on over to the mill when you're done. So I said, okay. So I'm packing this thing. I got my back to the elevator. I had to go to the other side because it's a big pump. Went to the other side, and I got my hands in there, and all of a sudden, I felt the presence of the Lord. And I looked up, and just then, the light on the elevator went on. So I'm just kind of stopped. I'm feeling God's presence. And all of a sudden, the door opened, and this old man named Charlie walks out, and he goes, Henry, you're back. And exactly what I saw in the dream, exactly. And I felt the Lord, and he said something to me at the line. He says, what I have promised, I will surely perform. And I said, God, thank you. I didn't realize it was a promise. God had given me a dream about it and a promise. But one thing that kind of troubled me, I didn't know how he knew me. Because like I said, I didn't know this guy. About a week later, I'm talking to my sister. We're in front of the change house, and people walk by and go on up to work. And he was walking, and I asked my sister, I said, who is that guy? She goes, oh, that's Charlie. She goes, you don't need, I showed him that you were my brother when you were walking up the other day when you first come back. I told him, hey, my brother just got a job back, and that's him over there. His name is Henry. And that's how he knew me, and I didn't know him. So God worked all those little things. Isn't it crazy how God knows your life? He knows everything about you. Why not even more if you start asking him about your life, saying, Lord, I want to know your will. When God begins to place his will in your life, he replaces your will with his will. He takes it out. He removes your will. It's you letting it go and him saying, let me show you what I have for you. How many say amen to that? How many really, really want to know what God wants you to do? How many just maybe not even sure what God wants to do in your life? Can I tell you, his will is running. We are under an open heaven. God is saying, I have opened things up to you. Come into my presence. Worship me, talk to me, and you watch what he does. He will do far abundantly, more than what you've ever even imagined, because it is him working in your life. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you, you are the head and you're not the tail. You are above and you're not beneath. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? Are you sure of it? Are you positive? Because God is saying, I will take you to where you want to go. Because doing his will, what he's planned for your life is the best thing you'll ever step into. It really is. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. The will of God. Is it worth going after? Is it worth it? Oh, it's worth it. Is it worth saying no to your own will? Come on, man. You know there's things you should say. It's got an awful lot of hot fudge on that thing. You know what? I think I just better not, man. Get away. If you will step away from your will, it places a void for God to bring his will. Isn't that cool? It's cool. Think about it. You step away from your will, it places a void for God to bring his will. And he will speak to you in a clarity because of what? what you've chosen to do because you want to be obedient. Is that right? How many want to be obedient to the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are able to do far above all that we ask or think, Father. And God, I will pray for every heart today, everyone that's in the room. Father God, that your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, show us the great things that you have wrought for us, the works that you have already placed within us. Father, show those things to us, Lord, and allow us, Father God, allow us, Father God, to hear and see and to know that this is the will of my Father. Help us to walk in the perfect will of God, that will which you have designed for the body of Christ today in the name of Jesus. You see, if you agree, say amen. 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 God bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Speak to the Lord. Talk to him. If you want to take some time just to worship him a little bit, take the time. You need prayer? We will pray for you because we know that God has great things for you. Amen? Amen. Hug somebody's neck. Shake their hand. Tell them we love you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.